Happy New Year. I guess it's almost Chinese New Year.
Chúc mừng năm mới.
I'm sure there's a segment of our audience that knows what that means.
Sức khỏe hồi yao.
Even I don't
What'd
know
what you just say?
Sức khỏe hồi yao.
What does that mean?
I think he just wished like death
long,
on your house.
Yeah, your house. But it's like long life and good luck or something.
Okay, yeah, now I get it. Yeah. I need reminders every now and then.
Yeah. I was told to say that to get money when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like, was that the line? I thought it was the other one.
Chúc mừng năm mới means Happy New Year.
No, but then you got to spit game to these old folks and be
yeah,
like,
yeah, you can't just say, you can't be the parrot and just say the first part. You have to follow it up with something better. So I was told to say that and I would get the red envelope.
It's like,
they were like, dance, monkey, dance.
I wish for you to win the lottery at some point this year. Oh, you're so sweet. Here's $10.
$20. I would get $20. Oh, if I said that next line, I would say I would get $20. So
Jack would say the line and then give a handy.
Yep. Anything I could for that green.
Jack was a grifter.
Yeah, that always gets you an extra 20.
Selling yourself a little short, bud. Even as a child. Yeah.
You know, if I got an extra, for sure. It was worth it. Well worth it.
All sad right. State of affairs.
Then we play blackjack.
Guess the show's starting now. From the glass enclosed nerve center in the downtown portion of Fairfax, this is the Bad Slant Podcast. Am I the only one who listens to WTOP on occasion?
No, okay. That's why we laugh.
Okay, just checking the temperature of the room.
Yeah.
I am Asian John, joined as always, actually live and in person by the more, what's the word I'm looking for? Timely of our hosts nowadays?
Yes,
hey,
timely.
Hey.
There's Jack.
Punctual.
Punctual. That's
punctual.
What's good?
I've had so much time preparing for the show that I've gotten sufficiently drunk, so that's why the word punctual didn't come straight to mind.
Maybe that was my plan.
That's the perfect plan. You wanted to get me nice and loose.
Great to see you too.
Oh, and that voice, the non-punctual one of the group, is
I'm sorry.
Ice. Once more, checking in.
Hello.
Very tardy.
But it's not my fault, but hello.
you want to lay the blame at everyone else's feet? It's totally fine.
I understand. Not tonight, but it's not my fault.
But, you know, I give you crap. I know you've got a lot on your shoulders, so I'm just glad you're here, period. So
yeah,
if you're listening, thanks for joining us again. We're back. We're here. We're queer. Get used to it. We had a plan for the show. I think if you listened to the last week's episode, we touched on the fire fraud documentary from Netflix, and we were ready to roll right into that. But we've had other things come to the fore, and we'll get to that.
Way more important.
Way more important. but before we get to this hot breaking news, I have to remind everybody, you can find us on badslant.com, on Instagram and Twitter at badslant, wherever you can find fine podcasts. I have screwed this
Bob
up
podcast
Bob. With regularity every week that we do this stupid show. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, you name it, we got it. We're there, so find us, give us a 5-star review.
Please subscribe. Also,
we need more subscribers. I feel
subscribers
like
in the ratings.
We see people are listening, but they're not necessarily subscribing and doing the piece that I'm wasting my breath on, which is subscribing and giving reviews. So
reviews are very key.
We see you guys listening. We get data. We see the hours that are being recorded, so we know you guys are out there listening.
We
so
can show up at your house
so
with the
please
data that we have.
Just give us like a minute out of your day. Just give us that 5-star.
A modicum of effort would go a long way. So we greatly appreciate that. And as always, support us through the website, badslant.com/support, with our links to target.com and Amazon. It is that time of year, that glorious time of year that actually this year is going to get real weird because I don't think anybody adjusted their withholding with these new tax laws. so it's going to get kind of dicey for, I would say, a good chunk of our listening audience. We have the tools. We can make them better. That could get you on your way to navigating this complicated tax season.
While this guy's over here on Bovada.
Yeah. I'm just preparing for some of the segments here.
Relax. Okay, fair enough.
Relax.
Instead of preparing for the read, he is preparing to drop a prop bet in short order.
We're over here talking about like being nervous about tax returns, and you over here about place a bet.
I'm not nervous about tax returns. But yes, you should, if you're in need of tax software, Target has TurboTax, one of the biggest leaders in TurboTax in tax software. Available for $10 to $20 off depending on the package and software that you select, depending on your tax situation. Mm-hmm. So
they got a whole S load of
I wouldn't even know what to choose.
Yeah, it's extensive. So
here's the thing. So they, I think what I saw was that they have two primary lines, like a deluxe and a premier.
Correct.
So mm-hmm. the deluxe is on sale for $10 off for yep. most of the models, premier, $20 off. But you've used TurboTax in recent years.
Yes. So. I used it last year. So when you're, it's very straightforward. They ask you a bunch of questions. Where is your income? Kind of what your tax situation
is. That's a good tax question.
It is. I mean, but like what your situation is. Do you own a home? Did you have a child? I mean, some kind of significant event in your life.
So does that kind of then tell you which version you
correct.
Need to get?
Yes. So if you own a home, you're kind of steered toward a certain version of the software. So you're definitely... good to select whatever they choose because they'll provide audit protection and they'll also go through your return with a fine tooth comb mm-hmm. and then make sure that you're on the up and up. So they also provide a state return if you wanted to do it that way as well. And it's all nice. Online, so it's very secure. I haven't had any issues, knock on wood.
E-file, bitches.
E-filing mm-hmm. with TurboTax. I've used all the software, and I would say TurboTax is the most user-friendly of all of them. And it's straightforward. You can always get a copy of the tax return just for, for documentation's sake.
Yep.
So yeah, 10 Lock to 20 bucks. Yep, 10 to 20, $10 to $20 off depending on what version you need.
And let's be honest, like you're doing your taxes to try to save your asses some money. So
for sure,
saving some additional money up front is actually mm-hmm. kind of a nice little perk to take with that. So,
definitely.
Yeah. So look into that.
Very cool.
Target.com, TurboTax. You got all the savings right there at your fingertips. Now, one area we did not skimp on as far as money goes are these fine treats from the good folks at McDonald's.
McDonald's.
So this pushed our fire discussion to the the side. Yeah, don't even remember what the hell we were talking about. McDonald's decided to put bacon on every damn thing. Well, I mean, not every damn thing, but they started with the bacon McDouble.
It's basically it's your main selection.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about like they have the new dollar menu item, whatever it was, the bacon McDouble. So that was kind of like the first shot across the bow, and now they decided screw it, we're fledgling, we're flailing away. Now we got let's go.
I thought it was.
I was like, Ice decided to point at the television while I'm going through physical items in front of us.
I was like, those bacon cheese fries.
It would have been Kismet, except it's a completely different brand and company that
they
was
copied
doing the commercial. Yep. So, first and foremost, I think the weirdest item of them all is the cheesy bacon fries.
Yeah,
right. Something that McDonald's has not messed with ever. Like it's just McDonald's fries and that's it. And really, they didn't have to do shit to it. But
I love McDonald's fries.
It is.
I love them.
It is your
the gold standard.
Do you remember the last fast food chain that had cheese fries?
Wendy's.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a pull,
man. What a pull.
I didn't have to point at the television to figure it out. Yeah, just knew it.
I can't remember if they had bacon on it, but then I remember.
They had a cheese fry.
I absolutely love their cheese fries.
Okay.
Their cheese fries are so good.
All right. We're hoping McDonald's lives up mm-hmm. to the Wendy's standard that's been established. And on top of that, they have a bacon Big Mac.
Yep.
A bacon quarter pounder with cheese.
How dare you? Mm-hmm. Big Mac bacon. That's what they're calling it.
Big Mac bacon. Yes. Wow. Okay. I apologize. Mea culpa, mea culpa. And a double quarter pounder with bacon. So
nuts.
That's insane.
We have a smorgasbord laid out in front of us. So I would just invite you guys to just kind of pick away. I don't know. Would you guys just want like the regular quarter pounder to start?
Sure.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and grab. My hands are relatively clean. Well,
relatively.
Before you pass that plate down, I think Ice was the only one brave enough to try the bacon Big Mac, which I've never been.
Am I really? I've never
been a Big Mac guy. So I mean, bless you for trying. I mean, it's just not my cup of tea.
The sauce?
I guess. I mean,
because that's the only difference.
It's Thousand Island sauce, right?
Basically.
Right. No,
there's secret sauce.
Full disclosure, I was a Big Mac guy for most of my life.
Pulling back the curtain way far.
Number one.
But?
All the way. I don't know. Like recently, maybe in the last 2 years, I've just been going with Quarter Pounders.
Well, they've gotten better.
Yes.
The Quarter Pounder has, like, ever since they changed up the meat or something.
Yes. They went with a more fresh patty.
Oh.
It's very good.
Ever since they did that, it's so much better.
Game changer.
It really is. Yes.
So I hear over the years your ass is taking a pounding. So that's
how dare you? John is. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Makes perfect sense, right?
All
right.
So some bacon wanna, cheese fries here.
Yes. Well, I did not put that on the plate.
Oh, yeah. You did not.
Yes. My apologies. I have my eyes on the prize here, gentlemen. And granted,
thank you.
We've been staring at this for a long ass time.
Where do we start?
The food is probably cold. It's gonna sound terrible. But it's not going to be as good as it was when it arrived, but we're going to go for broke here. So
what do you want to do? You want to do the cheese fries first?
No.
What do you eat first when you eat a burger? Me, personally, I eat the burger.
Okay.
Burger it is. Okay. All right.
Let's do it.
So you guys actually have the regular Quarter Pounder.
How dare you?
I got the double Quarter Pounder.
Oh, okay. God. Oh, wow. All
right. It's the same shit.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
That's just chewing on the microphone.
Should I point out for the listening audience that it's regular bacon and not Canadian bacon?
Oh, it's not that crap on the breakfast sandwich.
Correct.
And would anyone dare to say that Canadian bacon would make this experience any better?
Jack.
Me. I mean.
What a loser you are.
Yes, it would make it better. It would make it better.
If you're not doing sick.
So bad.
This double Quarter Pounder is a lot to take in. Let me just say that for the record.
So what is it? Double meat, double bacon? Is that basically what it is?
It's just an extra patty.
Oh. Yeah.
But how about the bacon? Is it
it's
double?
Just one layer.
I think it's regular bacon.
Okay. But it's just one layer of bacon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
That's not fun.
Yes. So the variety isn't as drastic as you would think, but it's still very enjoyable. I'll go to the gentleman with the most diverse plate of the three of us, Mr. Ice. Have you had both sandwiches or just the one?
I only had just the Quarter Pounder with bacon.
I gave you the special sandwich, you son of a bitch, and you know what? Never mind. What did you think of the Quarter Pounder?
It's good. I'm almost done with it.
Nice.
I didn't expect to go this far. I thought I was going to take a bite and then move on to the next sandwich, but I kept having to have another bite just to see if there's more behind it, but I think the only thing I can come out of this with is it tastes like a Quarter Pounder with bacon. Exactly is what it sounds. So right. If you like Quarter Pounders and you like bacon, I think it's absolutely perfect. I think it would actually be even more perfect if we ate it when it was still hot, but because we let
ain't bad for cold.
Yeah, it's not bad. But the bacon still had a little bit of crunch for me, and the bread was hard, but because it's been sitting out. But outside of that, the taste is still there. So the taste with the bacon is actually really good. I think if this becomes a permanent staple, I think I would probably go for the bacon Quarter Pounder rather than just the regular Quarter Pounder.
Well played, Jack. What say you?
4 out of 5. I mean, I always...
Oh, we didn't get any rating from
either. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I would agree. I would say it's... I would have to get it again and eat it when it's, like, smoking hot. Yeah.
God damn it.
But I would say for what it is right now, I definitely give it a 4.
Yeah, definitely a 4. It's
at a minimum.
It's what you love, at least what I love.
What you love now, because you've moved on from...
I've moved on from a Big Mac. And I don't know why.
He's
what happened.
He's growing in ways we cannot imagine.
I have evolved.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. I have.
You've
evolved.
Been drinking too. I see.
Yes.
I can tell.
But yeah, it's definitely a Quarter Pounder with bacon. It's great.
It's definitely
4 out of 5. You know, the Quarter
it's
Pounder.
It's definitely food.
It's food.
It's consumable. I'm pretty sure it came from McDonald's.
Yes, it definitely is. And it's a limited release.
I just can't stop eating it.
Can you eat the other damn sandwich so we can come back with more content? God damn it.
Oh, you didn't eat it?
I'm really enjoying it.
It's
so
good. It's good. It's very good.
It's you know what, we might have a situation where we try it on the show and then we end up reordering Uber Eats after. It's fantastic. The bacon adds the like a meatier element, but you know, there's a saltiness that you get from, you don't get from a regular cheeseburger, like, and no. And just like, if you're a salt hound the way that I am, like, I've been told I have a salty palate for years. This is kind of like the icing on the cake. You have everything you like from McDonald's sandwich, but then that extra kick to kind of move you like just over the top. So that, I don't know if it's the double patty that's doing it for me, but the fact is like the bacon works with every element of it. And I got a little onion, got a little pickle, which is something I don't typically, Jack can attest to. I've not been a pickle guy growing up, but
never.
I'm on board. I'm all in, and it actually is kind of a nice way to cut through the richness of the sandwich, and you know, the bacon again is a beautiful accompaniment to all of that. So I'm with you guys. I almost lean towards a 4 or 5.
Oh wow!
Well, I'll stick with the 4. Ice, have you had a chance to dabble in the other sandwich? Maybe too much, it seems. A little backed up.
I did, but before we get to that sandwich, I just wanted to ask, so is the double quarter pounder with the double bacon, is that too much?
I don't think so. I think the bacon, it could possibly be too much if you're having a regular quarter pounder, but it's right. from your perspective, it doesn't seem like it. And you guys, I think there's another half here if you guys want to try like a bite here of the double quarter pounder. But honestly, I think it's still balanced enough where it's not too over the top.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
still in.
Yeah, because that's what I wonder now. Because it's like, you know, for some reason when you go to like a quote unquote gourmet burger, like maybe like a Five Guys or somewhere where you can get a single or a double, and you get a double there and you don't think much about it, but then for some reason you go to a fast food place and you like,
holy shit, there's another patty. Oh yeah, my god,
you're like, I want a double quarter pounder. You're like, oh, get my god, with this? Yeah. My god. And all of a sudden you're just like, oh, it's too fatty or it's too much. But then no, you would the go case. Any other place and even get a double without even thinking about it, you
your
know?
Shake Shacks, your Five Guys. Yeah
So you know, it's been such a long, to be honest, I haven't had a double quarter pounder since high school, so I could, at the time I didn't have to worry about gaining weight, so you know, since then, you know,
I'm gonna kick your skinny ass out the window.
Cool. Like, so you know, I was just curious if it felt any different. You know?
No,
because
no.
Now you know, like for some reason, I can get a double at Five Guys, but at McDonald's is like, no, it's too much.
I think it's because you're a douche.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. I guess you look down your nose.
Going back to the second sandwich that I had the Big Mac bacon. So,
oh, wow. The inflection is murdering me. Bacon. Yes, you were saying
bacon. So with this one, because I didn't have a whole sandwich, like just for the little bit that I've tried, that's exactly, again, it's what it tastes like. And I feel like it doesn't work as well as a quarter pounder.
I tried to give you half a sandwich and you insisted on taking a quarter.
Much. It was too much.
Again, gonna kick you out of the window.
But you know, I just feel like when you think of like when you go to a place and you get a bacon cheeseburger, it's the ingredients and the things that are in a bacon cheeseburger is basically a quarter pounder, you know, more or less. So that feels natural. You don't really get a Big Mac with, you know, two patties, secret sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions. So
on a sesame seed bun.
Exactly. So you
thank you for the recap, gentlemen.
So you throw bacon on that, and it's not terrible. It's just, it tastes exactly like a Big Mac with bacon.
So it doesn't add anything is what you're saying.
I personally would rather just get a regular Big Mac than Big Mac bacon.
What's your rating of with bacon? Compare, obviously you compare it to the normal.
I feel
Big
like
Mac.
It, for me, I drop it down. So yeah. For me, a Big Mac is probably in the realm of a 4. I would say a Big Mac bacon is like a 3.5.
I don't want to impugn your judgment. You sound like a psychopath.
What?
It's totally fine. It's okay.
I know the math doesn't work out because bacon makes everything better.
You've had a long day.
I thought it would have been lower.
But It's the reason why I put it slightly worse is because it's you still enjoy the Big Mac flavor. You still get all that.
It's still food.
Yeah, you still get the Big Mac sauce.
I enjoy the food.
Which is the Big Mac sauce makes the Big Mac, you know? So I feel like because you can still taste a lot of the sauce, it doesn't really take anything away from the sandwich. It's just now you get bacon. But I feel like the bacon is so...
Is it overpowering?
No, it's unusual.
You want more bacon.
Because it's not what you're expecting. You grew up eating a Big Mac without the bacon. So
not
it's
me.
Like, all of a sudden, you just get this extra flavor in the profile. Which
so the Big Mac purists would not like it, is what you're saying? Okay, very good.
That's exactly it.
All right. They're not.
But I'm still eating it. And
as he shakes his head ruefully.
Okay.
And tries not to choke. All right, good to know. So we'll let your review of the Big Mac bacon
kind
of
you guys should have tried it.
Sit in a vacuum.
No, we're good. No, I'm good.
Didn't really give us a hard sell.
No.
I'm good. Bacon cheese fries?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, cheesy bacon fries if we're fix it on nomenclature.
It's topped with real cheddar cheese. The way to describe it. Real cheddar cheese sauce and smoked bacon tidbits.
Do they have cheddar cheese on anything else? No, right?
No.
So this is new. Wait. The cheddar is new for them.
Correct.
They went to the bag for this one. Wow, I took that down in one bite. Holy shit.
It would have been better warm.
Yes. If it was your traditional crispy McDonald's fry, like this, I think there's no scale that could measure the intensity and the just general success that dish was. That on a scale of 5, that's a 5, even cold.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, is there an element of this dish that could possibly go wrong? Even with a cold fry, it's still your standard McDonald's fry, just maybe like a little more tepid than you would like, but it's still relatively crispy. The son of a bitch from Uber who stapled the bag shut couldn't mess this up to the point where it's inedible. a cheddar cheese that has not been bestowed upon very many McDonald's dishes, and the chopped up bacon, which I think they cooked pretty well in that it still retains some crispness and adds all the salty elements that we're looking for. I can't sing the praises enough. Like that, I need to try this hot, but that's fantastic.
It's very good. The cheese sauce has a very cheddar, like it's cheddar.
It's a rich cheddar flavor. Yeah,
definitely. And the bacon contrasts that, I guess that. The velvetness of the cheddar cheese, it just cuts through the
spit
the,
that shit, son.
Yeah, it cuts through it. Velveeta. It's very good. Not Velveeta. I would give it a 4 for sure. I would want to eat it hot.
I think
you're
right.
Call it in right now.
We may need to put an order at the end of the show.
I think we
order. No, if we
before
order
the show's over, yeah. Fine. Fair enough.
I'll have
the wife pick it up.
Yeah.
All right.
It's good though.
Ice, what say you?
I have to for now agree with Jack just because I really do.
Why
think...
Why wouldn't you? Voice of reason.
You know, I don't think any like cheese fry tastes good cold. Like I don't think you ever have anything like even like do I want to say this? Cold nacho cheese like nachos from like 7-Eleven, if it's been sitting out in the cold for a long time, the cheese starts getting really cold.
Yeah.
That's not as good.
No, not at all.
So
where the hell do you get cold nacho cheese? Like is
no,
it because
it sits out. Think about like when you actually go get it and you...
Oh, if you've already like...
Yeah.
You already poured it and then
you
left
You have a few and then you let it sit and then like later you're like...
Oh, we have a few.
I have some left, so you're going to grab a couple. And then you're like... it's not that good, but it's good enough. You kind of get it, what it's supposed to be. This, I feel like you kind of get a hint of like what it should have been. So I think we need to do it justice and order it high after this. Okay. Try it one more time.
For sure.
I mean, I'll call Alfredo right now, make sure that he's still in the area. All right. Well,
run it back.
I'm wrong. Oh, but I think this was a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, it's great.
This was a nice U-turn, but we'll U-turn literally right back to where we were discussing what we were discussing last week. So we all, I think I know the answer to this. We all found the time to watch the Hulu documentary on the Fire Fest.
Fire!
Man, I was fighting it. I had to be honest. You guys saw my message.
It's awful.
Like, So, you know, maybe it's the order that I watched it, but after starting the previous week, we watched the Netflix version. And what I think Netflix does so well with their version is, I felt like they had a higher budget. So it just felt like the production level of the Netflix version felt more polished.
I need to talk about the production, but
right?
Yeah.
So overall, it just felt like there was more more thought put into telling a complete story.
We'll put it this way. The fact is they had their Fyre Festival documentary on the calendar. It was kind of an anticipated release.
Right.
So it was known. It was out there. And Hulu decided to just drop one days prior to the Netflix release.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like a trying to steal their thunder in that moment, like just like a day or two prior, and really make it so that they stole the headline. They did for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
But then it felt like, predominantly speaking, like the conversation was predicated on Netflix's version of the events.
Right. And, you know, it's like, and like I said, I feel like Netflix told a different type of story than Hulu.
Or a story.
So... You know, so like coming from there and going to the Hulu version, Hulu, like within the first couple minutes, I immediately saw where this was going. And I was just like, this is crap. You know, like, you know, because like I was sitting down, I was like, OK, I already know the story of this. So for me to sit down and commit to another hour of watching a story that I already know, is this worth it? Is this worth my time? I could be watching something else, like True Detective or something. So I was like, after like 2 minutes in, I was like, nope. So I texted you guys immediately. I was like, fuck it. I can't do it. I just can't. Like, this is just not going to happen for me. And I would say
it took some cajoling. Like, yeah, I think I
spoke to John a little bit, and then, you know, like, and then I just felt like I couldn't do that to the show. So I couldn't just be like, just boycott this the thing, just so
don't screw, you know, us on this.
So I was like, okay, fine, I'll sit down and watch it. So, like, you know, usually in the mornings I like to have a podcast while I work, but I got all caught up, so I was like, all right, let me turn on the documentary and then do some work. And yeah, I ended up watching it, and I still don't feel like it was a complete story like Netflix, and it told the best story. So I would say to the listeners, if you for whatever reason you still haven't seen it, I would still recommend the Netflix version, because it told a complete story from end to end of how things went down. But I do like a lot of the little things in Hulu, like that they got, like, I guess, direct access to that.
They got access to Billy.
Yeah. So you heard things directly from
Billy.
The source.
The name Billy does not have a good connotation when it comes to this show.
Not in this show.
Really.
But it seems fairly apparent here. But
did it put you off that he was at the end, like, not answering the questions? Like when they were kind of pushing him?
I'm gonna take a break.
I gotta go have some of these Ferrero Rocher chocolates, like, you got laying out next to
like,
the...
What? I was like, are
you coming back?
You son of a bitch. What the hell? Just answer the question. Yeah, it was infuriating.
I can't comment on that.
I called into question, actually, like the whole, I guess, the intent of the documentary. Like, let me say this. I have a completely different outlook on the Netflix documentary now. Just,
yeah, me too.
Given the little fact bomb they dropped at the end of the Hulu documentary, where they revealed that the marketing company that did the Fyre Festival it's the name of the company. It's Fuck Jerry.
Yeah, Fuck Jerry. Yeah,
yeah. So they had a hand in the production of the Netflix documentary. So
yeah,
it calls into complete question,
obviously,
everything and how they presented that that documentary, where they villainized the Fyre team, Billy and Ja Rule and everybody. To an extent.
Where's Ja in all this?
Where's Ja?
You saw a little bit of it in Hulu, though.
Yeah. Okay, so you're right. So the executive producer of the Netflix special was one of the founders of Fuck Jerry Media.
Right.
So it kind of...
Whom I've unfollowed since, actually, on social media.
Good for you.
Yes, thank you.
But at the same time...
Courageous.
You're right. You have made such a
hashtag
great
me too.
Contribution to our society by unfollowing that account. Thank you. But you're right. It's
But it colors the entire presentation. Like, it changes how I view the facts that were, or the story that they presented. Because talked about how the Netflix documentary told a story, but maybe it was too much of a scripted story. Maybe they were trying to control the narrative to an extent that obviously shirked the responsibility of them as the marketers for the event and put it on the executors and the planners.
It seemed like they were just, you're right. It seemed like they were trying to say they were distancing themselves from the culpability of the issue.
They're like,
include
us, but when it gets too real, take us out.
Yeah.
The phrase that I remember from the Netflix documentary was that and I'm paraphrasing, but they said like, if a client hires us to do a job, then, you know, we just execute. It doesn't matter what happens behind the scenes. You know, we're here to do a job, so we have to follow it through all the way. But that speaks to such a lack of moral integrity or even business integrity or professional integrity, mm-hmm. where you can have that level of cognitive dissonance and say it whatever we're promoting, it doesn't matter whether or not it has any substance to it. We're just quote unquote doing your job when in reality you're perpetuating a lie. So they have as big a voice and as big of a role in how far that scandal and that whole ordeal got. So I think it's very lazy and it's terribly convenient on their part to say that they really didn't have a role in how bad the things got for the festival, when really they were the megaphone for how far and wide the ticket sales went and how far it went on social media and everybody that it touched.
Yeah, they were the driving force behind the strategy of the social media campaign, right?
Yeah,
So, I mean, the whole orange block was their idea. Yeah. So for them to say, you know, it was definitely...
We're just doing a job.
We're just doing our job, but definitely...
It wasn't our idea?
Yeah, right. It wasn't. That wasn't their idea. That was just like, oh, we're just doing our job. So it was so convenient. You're right, John. It was so convenient.
Holy shit. Cut that audio?
Sorry. I got so upset at that point. I was like, you know what?
We can isolate that.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we could, for sure.
But I'm glad I'm not alone in that, because it was like kind of a moment where it stopped me in my tracks. Like, Jesus, really? Like that's where you draw the line. And it kind of took me, it kind of colored my entire vantage point or my interpretation of how that documentary played out. Because, I mean, I think there's still facts that they presented in the Netflix documentary, and they were way more all-encompassing, and they were thoughtful, and they took time in explaining some of the finer points as far as how the event started and where it ended up. But again, like, the fact that it's completely biased, it kind of changes everything how I see the documentary in hindsight.
I guess, do we want to kind of give a follow-up? I guess because last episode we actually stopped right when the festival was starting, when the attendees arrived on the island. Mm. Do we want to go on from there and just like kind of give like a quick Cliff Notes version of what happened after that?
Yeah, the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much everyone showed up at the island, and then, you know, long story short, I mean, I think even the flight there was, a private jet?
They promised a private jet.
A branded private jet.
It was just like a regular, like an
Airbus 327, like...
With the decals on it on the side or something, right?
They painted the side of the plane like you've seen Lord of War, where Nicolas Cage was trying to bone that chick and he painted a jet himself, and like the paint flew off by the time he landed on the ground. Yeah, that's what they did for Fyre Festival. Yeah.
So they got to the island and
but no one got laid.
Oh, that island was just not ready for...
It was the jankiest island you've ever seen in your life.
It was so not ready. So I think in the last episode we hinted that they had to make a last minute switch and find a new venue because of
Pablo's issue. Island was not available.
Exactly. So they're like, you know, you broke our agreement. You have to go find another place. So they scrambled to find the next available place that could possibly become a venue for this Fyre Festival. And they found one
Great Exuma.
And they just needed to do a lot of work and a lot of people.
Here was issue one. They scheduled it on the biggest weekend.
The regatta.
Island, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really watched the rest of that documentary.
Yeah. You did.
They planned it concurrently with another event.
Apparently, it's the Super Bowl of the Bahamas.
And as an event planner, do you know how often like you have conflicts of interest when it comes to scheduling? What do? You reschedule. And I imagine if the participants for this event, or the attendees rather, are shelling out that kind of money, I figure they could probably take up the cost to delay a week or two to a time frame that isn't so crazily inconvenient for the location. So I think that was issue one. And then on top of that, you had an island that was already overbooked and really not what they were selling initially. So they talked about the original Instagram posts that had the models and the beaches, and what actually ended up being sold was nothing anywhere close.
FEMA
to that.
Tents and cheese sandwiches.
Oh, sheesh.
So it was as bad as we've seen in hindsight.
Right. It was just poorly planned, and it just the founder of the company, Billy, whatever his last name is, was just too in deep. He had to put the show on and the festival on. And he was at a point of no return, like obviously a week. I mean, it just kept creeping up, and they just had to do it. And
he borrowed from enough like wealthy investors and Russian mobsters where it was the point of no return.
Yeah, there was other motivations at play. So these people were working day and night to get this festival going, and they didn't know why. They were like, let's put this off. Let's cancel. Let's reschedule. Do anything to not throw it. And then he still had to throw it because he was beholden, and he was, you know, committed to because he had to.
And did they have the nerve to say, like, after like such a disaster day one was, they had the nerve to like say something like, oh,
weather and issues beyond our control.
Yeah, and they're like, just stay tuned for day two.
#day two. It was the worst thing.
When he went on television and said version one has failed, like there's no, it's not failed. It's dead. It's not coming back. There's no version two, which is what, actually, you know what? I think that's one of the fundamental differences between the Hulu and the Netflix documentaries where they had the aftermath after the event had completely failed. The Netflix one didn't really detail how they really had some half-baked idea of executing a new event the following year.
Yeah.
Not with a new name or like rebranding whatsoever. No, they were just going to say Fyre Festival 2018, and they didn't see any issue with maintaining the brand and spinning it forward in spite of all of the issues that they faced with the original quote-unquote V1 version.
And you know, I wouldn't put it past them that people would actually buy tickets for it.
Man, they learned their lesson last year. I think they're definitely going
so
to fix it.
I feel people are so stupid that they
so
would,
gullible.
Well, they were stupid enough to pony up for the first one.
And then, like, he started trying to scam with his another company, trying to sell tickets to very exclusive
that
events.
That shit was unbelievable.
While he was out on bail for the Fyre Festival.
Well, so getting a little bit into that. So, like, I think that was one of the key differences between Netflix and Hulu's version of the documentary. Because I guess Hulu paid, what, Billy? Billy McFarlane about, what, $250,000 to have exclusive rights.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, so they paid him $250,000 just
that's money wasted.
To have exclusive rights for him to sit down and talk to them on camera, which he did, you know.
But I mean, watching the two documentaries, did he bring anything to the Hulu documentary that we didn't get from the fact finding?
No, but what I felt was slightly different with the Hulu version was Maybe because of the investment in Billy, they wanted to tell a bit more about his story, about him as a child, and
yeah, there was definitely that.
They got some quotes from the mother and right. This and that. So I just felt like this one took a different angle where they tried to, not in a sense make excuses, but try to like say, okay,
they wanted to give more backstory.
Yeah, Billy is the way Billy is because this is how he was as a child. And
I noticed that my schoolmate had broken his crayon, so I thought I could charge you a quarter for said crayon. And if you have friends that have the same predicament, please come find Billy next to the typewriter.
I mean, he was a huckster, man. He was a flim-flam man. He was selling a
lot
bill
of those
of
going
goods.
Around these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, he was selling a bill of goods, and he could not deliver. Even with his previous business venture, Magnesis, the millennial say, it credit card. Cool. It sounded awesome on paper, right?
I gotta get me a Magnesis hat.
Yeah. If he could deliver on everything he promised, then yeah, I mean that would have been an insane. It's like the black card for millennials, right?
Because I mean the
did you just like spit the tagline that they like?
That's what it is. It is the black card for millennials. But
it's
he could not
the black card. It's just a metal card.
Yeah, exactly.
It.
But
it
he
does
was
nothing
what,
else.
But that was his.
It's your same Visa rewards card.
Exactly. That's what he was trying to push. So if he could deliver, right, then it would have been a great success. But it did not happen, and then he just kind of hit it too.
And then we found out in the Hulu documentary, like that was the main reason why they got that one investor dude. Cause like they said,
oh, the guy who died.
Yeah.
So Spoiler alert. The investor guy died.
So they went to the investor dude when he was a pitching
investor dude.
When he was a
Aubrey McClellan is his name.
When they were pitching Magnesis,
you're welcome.
He was showing him a prototype of this metal Magnesis card. And
can you imagine?
He was just banging this card on the table, and just like. I'm loving this.
Two dickheads with all the money in the world just sitting there bouncing a piece of metal off the table. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is where the wealth of America is.
And that's what sold him.
And he spelled Magnesis wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, I just spelled it wrong. We just went Magnesis, and he just kept going with it. I was like, really? But then
it's a completely made up name. He still fucked it up.
Yeah. You kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But that, you know, what? That's the kind of stuff that I appreciate out of this documentary where. You got some inside intel on like some of the deep cuts of the story, where it's like, you know, Netflix stayed very much on the surface level of like,
it was almost like a timeline. Like they went very much in chronological,
which
was
great. If you want a summary, give me a story. Give me a recap of what happened. What is Fyre Festival and what happened? I think Netflix nailed it. They got it exactly to the T of what happened, how it semi affected people, the locals, the attendees that purchased tickets and this and that, and the influencers and all that stuff. Hulu took a different spin where it kind of dug into the details a little bit behind Billy, they actually followed some of the influencers there too.
Well, here's the thing. I felt like Hulu was strictly out to make everybody involved look like an asshole.
That's great.
I mean, everybody.
That was great.
Which was good entertainment. Yeah, maybe that's why I liked it.
It was a neutral party.
Right. Yeah. The influencers, they're assholes.
Yep.
Fuck Jerry, they're assholes.
Yep.
Billy McFarlane. We remembered his last name. It took 20 minutes. McFarlane. He's an asshole.
Definitely.
The biggest asshole of all has to be Ja Rule. Can you imagine being such a fledgling celebrity that you would put your name on this shit and then have so much, like, I can't put into words, like, the balls to try to separate
Who
yourself.
Who is he talking to again?
I don't know.
What was that, a radio show? Was that a podcast? What was that?
What? Eventually, okay, so
when he confessed?
There were two things.
Yeah.
So he was...
It's like Noriega, right? That looked like it was Noriega.
It was Noriega, yes.
Noriega.
The show you're talking about was drunk history. Whatever it's called. It was a show where they just get drunk on the air, and he just... He ratted himself.
He confessed! Yeah. He confessed!
Like, he said,
that's all you need right there.
Nobody knew that the festival had anything to do with him until it went to shit. But he
was kind of my idea.
He goes, yeah, I've got a new venture now. It's sort of like the Fyre app. Okay, it's like the Fyre app.
It's the Fyre app.
Yeah, it's the exact Fyre. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Like, you just want to pistol whip him on the spot. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you so hard up for money that you would put your name on this fledgling enterprise? Not just once,
killed,
but twice. Yes.
Yeah. He is asking. He needs the money.
He's a zombie. Yes. So he's dead, and he's just out here like just walking along, trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
But it's not happened yet. But I mean, I think there's like a pyramid of assholes that the Hulu documentary was trying to like just build up to the peak. And you could argue anybody was the biggest asshole in all this.
You know, when I heard this story, there was like some headline in the news like a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, or something about like 50 Cent was like buying the front rows of Ja Rule's concert.
That might have been the best thing I've ever heard of.
After watching all this, I'm like, Yes. Thank you. Thank you. That motherfucker deserves it.
The story was the tickets ended up on Groupon.
Yes. So on Groupon like, for so like 15
like,
bucks.
So he's like, I bought the first six rows of this concert for less than $3,000. And you know what? It's totally worth it. Just to imagine? Watch him crumble.
That's so funny.
He's out there performing in front of like no one.
Nobody.
God. That is so funny.
He deserves every bit of it.
After this, it just made me appreciate that so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, we found parts of the Hulu documentary that were actually nice little accompaniments to the Netflix. But
it's like an add-on.
Yeah. But for me, like, looking at the trying to objectively compare the two, it felt like the Hulu documentary was like the same documentary on ADD. Like, they had cutaways.
Yeah.
It felt like a VH1 pop-up video.
It was the
where
same
like,
doc.
Factoids. Yeah. Like they
some
tried,
of the same footage too.
They had the same contributors, the same damn people. Like the one dickhead who started the fire fraud account.
Yes.
Like
he was there.
Yeah, he provided the same facts, but he was just way more amped up and way more happy to shit on because
he was
everybody
there.
Involved. Yeah,
he was actually on camera. That's why. Yeah.
So I felt like they were trying to be edgier on every front. Where they Netflix doesn't have Billy, we got Billy, and we got the contributor guy who started the fire fraud Twitter account, and he's pissed off now, and like they just kept like. Trying to add so much more juice to theirs. Where
they fucking did pay him though, man.
They paid everybody. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, everybody gets paid to contribute to these things. But I don't know if it makes it that much better of a product at the end of the day.
I don't think so. I think you could have liked the Netflix documentary. If standalone, if you just had the Netflix documentary, you wouldn't have. I mean, I wouldn't have any complaints. But now that you know that the Fuck Jerry. Founders were part of the Netflix documentary, then you're just like,
Yeah, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
For sure.
Yeah, that sucks because I feel like they did their homework. They actually...
It was very well done.
They did they put more of an effort into product and what came out.
But I just, now that I'm just like, no, fuck that. I'm not
the only thing that I can remember out of the Netflix one is that guy tried to suck a dick.
That is, it went happy.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it when I heard it.
My wife was like, are you serious? I'm like, yep.
You ever sucked a dick from a festival?
Not recently.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
But yeah, I mean, like, he got the meme treatment. He didn't know how to react to that, but
I think he loved it, evidently, in hindsight.
Yeah. I mean, but
hindsight. Like, as it's happening, he's like,
in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
He is the hero of all of this, and he didn't have anything to do with the Hulu documentary, so I guess that's where the two can really, split.
What about the... Restaurateur.
I don't remember her name. I apologize.
I don't remember her name.
But she was I think her restaurant was where they dumped all the passengers initially, and
the decoy.
Yes, and she fed them. She got them all drunk, and she was out for like
$50,000.
You know what?
Bohemian dollars. I don't know what that is. I'm
so
just
$10,000. however you cut it, that's a big chunk of change for
it really
small
is.
Business.
Yeah.
So I can see that being a make or break type of moment.
And I think the way that she phrased it on the Netflix one was like, you know, she saw this as an investment. You know, like felt like if we do well and this was going to be a recurring festival that happens annually, you know. She was gonna put the effort in to make this happen, and it could just to guarantee her steady business year after year. So, I
believe in Ja Rule.
Yeah. So, that's where I think I have a lot of sympathy for her because she had the right intentions and that was the right business move, but they were just a bunch of fucking assholes.
Well, don't sympathize for her very much longer because she was made whole. I think the group Groupon or GoFundMe, I think they raised in excess of $120,000.
Yeah, about 150.
And that all went to her?
Yes.
Good.
But that's a happy ending.
Yeah.
But what of everybody else along the line that got bilked? I mean, she was a sympathetic figure. She was somebody they could point to and say, hey, she was directly screwed. But what about the guy who seemed like the right hand man on island who was doing all the legwork and the guy
all the day laborers, right?
Yes, like, all those guys. Did they get a GoFundMe account? Did they get the same type of sympathy that this person got?
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's true.
Look, the internet can do a lot of good, but I feel like it's very subjective and it's not as equal in terms of how they distribute that good. So all the guys down the line, like the guy who tried to rob the Bahamian officials for the does he get made whole? I don't know. Like, he was hanging out at the Dairy Queen with Billy McFarland, so I guess that's a kind of a benefit. But aside from that, does everybody else get the same type of justice that this lady got?
I mean, they should, but
yeah, they should, but they're not going to because they didn't get enough screen time like she did.
Yeah.
So I think you heard more about her story and all her struggles and all the shit that she's been through and how
she's a woman.
And then she's a woman. I mean, I don't
not wanna, saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not a bad thing.
Didn't she want more money from Ja Rule?
I think we all want money from Ja Rule.
Yeah, but she wanted like another 100K because he was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry about that." He kind of like tweeted at her or was talking about her, and then
oh really?
Yeah, and then she was like, "Well, put your money where your mouth is, and I need 100K more, something to that effect."
That's funny.
You already got your money. Why are you asking for more? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like they make these people out to be complete victims. Like the internet finds people that they're going to make out to be the one who is most aggrieved, but then you have the follow on story, which I didn't know about, where she's basically trying to goose him for more money or goose one of the...
She was made whole. Yeah. Just get over it.
More than whole.
Yeah.
What is it? 50K? And she got... I think they raised $120,000.
Yep.
So...
There you go.
I mean, it's where I think the internet is... They can do good, but they can also do a whole lot more harm because there's no scale of justice that really like takes everybody into account. They pick who they want to serve justice to.
Yeah. So... And on note, did you see the headlines just a day ago?
There's more goddamn headlines.
Or what?
I was done with this story after I turned off the Hulu doc.
Yeah, there was more headlines. So, So
Billy,
supposedly because of the time that he's put in so far.
Oh my God, is he gonna get out?
He's earned. He's eligible for good time credit. So
he got sentenced to 6 years in federal prison.
Yeah.
The damn thing happened last year.
Yeah.
How in Christ's name is he already eligible to
eligible for good time credit? And so technically what that equates to is he gets a year shaven off. So he's coming out early. It could
but not
be,
like tomorrow, but
I mean, it could be if he could continue.
Did you read the whole story? Because now I'm confused.
Well, the full story is basically if he doesn't do anything appropriate, he's going to get 15% time taken off of his sentence, and he's required to do at least 85% of it.
Yes.
So that's the math. So that's if you want to do 6 years, minus 15%.
He still needs to do 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's roughly where he's at. So technically, he's going to get off at least a year early if he doesn't do anything. But I don't know if there's any other things if he continues to do well that they'll shave off additional time.
He has to do 85%.
Can we just say like the scales of justice again seem completely out of whack?
I don't get it.
Because
I really don't get it.
He defrauded I think the total tally at the end of the day was $26 million from
$26 million
from a variety of investors, not counting the people who really got hosed down the line, like the day laborers. I don't know if they took them into account. But if you're talking scales of justice, is 6 years even enough? Like you have people who commit drug crimes and they're subject to mandatory minimums, and we can go down a whole political rabbit hole here. But like nothing makes sense nowadays. Like 6 years for defrauding $26 million worth of money, and versus a guy who sells like a bag of weed and he's going to jail for like 10 to 5 years.
It makes no sense.
Nothing makes freaking sense, and this dickhead is potentially looking at a reduced sentence.
5 years for all the wrong that he did.
He won't have to pay any of that back. He's never going to.
There's no restitution.
Yeah, what I found interesting was just like how much of a con man this motherfucker is. Because like in the Hulu documentary, they started documenting that this motherfucker's in jail starting a business in jail.
ICE has really spun up. He's dropped like 7 F-bombs.
I was just like, this guy is nonstop, man. He's
I'm going to help him make this mixtape and release it in prison.
That's your nature. I mean, once you when you know something, that's all you know. So it's like every opportunity you take, that's what you're gonna do. So
just gonna
I mean,
try to get over. And
so I just feel like he's in prison to avoid getting his ass. Ugh, I'm not even gonna get. But yeah,
wow. You drop another F-bomb.
So I get you. Like, rather than going down that hole, it's gonna go down a different hole, and then he's gonna.
Jesus Christ! What the hell? I don't know. What's happening? You said I know. You knew what I was talking about. What's happening? I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's happening? No. Okay. No. We're good.
We're good. Okay. Moving on. We're
good. So FaceTime. God damn. Well, here's the button. Let's wrap this up. The only way you can really, the best way you can tell the difference between the two documentaries.
Watch it.
Watch it for one. But that's two. One. But they have the same conference call featured on both documentaries.
Yeah, that's true.
Netflix had the actual like video chat, and Hulu could only get the audio rights to it. So that should, in a nutshell, tell you how much effort and resources went into the two documentaries. Like Hulu got whatever they could, and Netflix ponied up and got the actual video archival footage. So
yeah,
quality over quantity, I guess. I don't know.
What was that famous Ja Rule quote from the?
It's not murder.
Not famous, but
it's not
made,
fraud.
It's made famous.
It's not fraud.
It's not how you stand next to your car.
Oh my God,
that's the wrong one.
That's how you race your car.
That's not the one I was looking for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something about rock stars and.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
I think that was the one.
He's like, what did he say?
They said it so damn much, I just wanted to vomit.
I've heard it on both documentaries.
Party now. Like rock stars.
There you go.
Living like movie stars and Billy.
Jack, come on.
Fuck like porn stars.
Yeah.
Someone else dropped an F-bomb instead of my ass.
Damn it.
Oh, God. Let that be the last time that statement ever says on air. It is ever said on air.
It was just funny that they had that on both documentaries.
I can't believe that was the only like his tagline or his catchphrase that he could really go back to. Like, it's just the laziest shit you could imagine. So evidently other things happen in the world besides the fire festival and whatever doc. Can we just say, like, this was like the most unworthy topic to have two shows about?
I know. I don't know why we decided to have two episodes on this.
But God damn it, like, we probably could do a third.
Probably. We may.
It'll be a side conversation.
Maybe.
But yeah, let us try to steer clear of this fire festival from
never again until next time.
Yeah,
well, I guess from here, I mean, we have maybe like 5 minutes left. Do you want to go sports or do you want to go tech?
Boys, it's on you. So
it is one of the biggest weekends.
It
of
is
the
what
year.
The biggest
Super Bowl weekend.
But if you take the pulse of everybody in this room, I don't think anyone gives a shit.
I don't think anyone gives a shit in the world, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably a byproduct of a lot of different things. You have a team from LA that doesn't really have a fan base at this point. They have the Coliseum, which is a dying football facility, but they can barely draw like maybe a third of that of their own fans, and everything else is comprised of the opposing teams. And it's very
transient.
So, but it's LA. There's a million things to do in LA. Football is not at the top of that list.
No,
In terms of interest, and the Chargers can attest to that as well. And then you have the Patriots, who are pretty much universally reviled outside of the northeastern portion of the United States.
Yeah.
So everyone's rooting for them to fail. They don't really have any interest in seeing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick succeed once again.
Chowder.
Hey, Frenchie, say it.
Chowder. God, I'm not interested.
Fair enough.
This Super Bowl. At all.
Well, I mean, we're in a market where football is dying a quick and painful death.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So I think seeing another team succeed in any capacity. Just
let alone for like the last 5 years making it
consistently.
Yeah.
The entire time your team has sucked, this team has been good. So it's just the pain cannot be more in your face is seeing that kind of play out over the same time period.
Yeah. The spectacle of it doesn't even intrigue me anymore. I'm just so jaded. I don't even, you know, it's just, it's
I don't
like
know.
Whatever.
I don't know. What's
the spectacle this year, honestly?
Nothing.
Or just the Super Bowl? Like,
it's just,
whatever
it's just
it's,
being.
It's purely football. Yeah. I mean, because.
But you know, ratings for the NFL have never been higher.
I know.
Never been higher.
I think maybe they were hoping for a Rams Chiefs matchup in the Super Bowl. I think that would have been kind of cool.
I honestly don't know if that'd be any better.
Really. No, I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, you have the fresh face factor with the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like what does that really do for anybody else outside of Kansas City and LA? Like, you might get a better game, but who gives a shit happens in Kansas?
Wasn't that the game that they had earlier in the season with Thursday night or something?
Monday night.
And that was an amazing game.
It was a great game, but did it, like, I don't know what the ratings were for that game. I don't think it was anything beyond what is normal.
But
for
that was the first time that people were like, that's what football should be. You know, that's how you should play primetime football.
I think it would have been a sexier matchup, and it might have gotten like a few more casuals to say, well, this is going to be more interesting than whatever comes out from the Rams and Patriots. But again, I don't think it would have moved the needle significantly more than what you have with the Patriots and the Rams.
Yeah, but, it's easy to hate on Tom Brady and the Patriots, but,
He wears Uggs.
They've proven that they're a solid football team, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're
You're really underselling it.
I mean, they're here year in, year out, but for some reason, somehow they're the bad guys out of all this.
They are!
And it's just, Spygate. And it's late gate. But is it in? So it's Uggsgate. Like, so there's like something against the matchup. Like people aren't in. But then there's the whole like halftime show. Everyone's boycotting the halftime show. No one wants to like no one wants to do the halftime show. Like all these big acts are just like no.
Do you realize it's a non-paying gig?
It is, but it's one of the most like. Most eyes, like you got the most views on this halftime.
I had a conversation with my wife about this. Where do you go if you're Maroon 5 from here? What do you do? What changes for them beyond this? Like,
do they have a
bigger stadium tour?
I can't even.
Do they go twice? Like, I don't understand.
I can't name any of the other bands. For mates. Yeah.
Like, so this is here's my perspective. My perspective. So I feel like
we gotta cut this thing down quick.
So with the Super Bowl, I feel like yes, it's a non-paying gig, but you got to keep in mind that this is free advertising.
I'm sure people who don't know who Maroon 5 are gonna know who Maroon 5 is after this.
No, what I'm saying is this is your opportunity to do something with the limited time that you have. What? Halftime show, what? It was about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that?
It's like 30 minutes.
I mean, the entire thing is blocked off for 30, but yeah, the 30. True performance of what you're doing on stage is roughly around like 10 to 15. So within that 10 to 15 minutes that you've captured or you have America's audience, what do you do with that time? This is your opportunity to do something that, to make a statement that following this performance, you want people to be like, I kind of like them motherfuckers. I'm gonna go look
that's
them up.
Five.
Sorry.
Five.
So like, you know, like when like you had like the back in the day, you had like Michael Jackson, that epic, you know, epic performance. You have Whitney Houston with the epic like Star Spangled Banner. Like these are things that lives in history. Like when you do things at the Super Bowl where everyone's watching, people don't forget about those things. But then when you come out and have a shitty halftime performance, then
do you think that Maroon 5 will have a good performance?
They know. Well, I feel like, okay, hear me out.
He sounds like a mark. Go ahead.
No, but I know they're gonna do that fucking like women's power song. You know, just like, you know, girls.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
I need girls. Girls. Is that the song? No, something about girls.
Jay-Z.
No, it's the one.
Is he gonna perform? Because I'm in.
Girls.
Why don't they have Jay-Z on there?
He declined.
He took a knee.
What? Yeah, because
rightfully so.
He protested the NFL. So Travis Scott, the only reason he took the gig was that the NFL
would donate
to whatever social
girls
justice.
Like you. That's why.
I don't know. I think
is that with Cardi B?
Yeah.
The song's not bad.
That song's not bad, but. Yeah. The fact that it's all about women, I think he knows that
they're gonna make a statement.
They're gonna have, I think his bit is gonna be, I'm gonna have a lot of famous women join me at Super Bowl to make a statement.
But okay,
to help his cause.
I get that, but at the end of the day, what the hell does that do for Maroon 5? They've sold all the records you could possibly sell as a band. They toured the biggest stadiums across the country. There is literally no going higher than where they are right now.
You know what would help? If they had a new song up their sleeve and this is the time they performed it.
Do you ever like it when a band goes up there and plays they new should, songs? I want them to play the hits. I want you to hear new songs. Play the hits. That's what I want.
Are you telling me that your eyes don't roll to the back of your head when a band goes on stage and says, "Oh, glad everybody's here. We're going to play some new stuff."
I lie.
Yeah. Jesus the Christ.
Worst. I'm a huge mark for Songs About Jane.
Of course you are.
I love that original album.
Of course you are.
I don't even know what that is. That's their original album?
I guess.
With all their hits, you know, like the She Will Be Loved and all that stuff.
And it's a song about a girl, so that means she it's going to get over real big.
That means they're going to perform that song.
Oh, God. Everyone's going to climax.
It's just going to be a medley of all their songs, right? That's how it always is. Because they have 15 minutes time.
But
that's
with
it.
Travis Scott, right?
So, apparently.
So, I don't
and
know.
And who else is the third? Who's the third act? Killer Mike.
Who cares?
Killer Mike. I don't know. I don't know how I pulled that.
His name is Run the Jewels.
Yes.
Hold on. Killer Mike is Run the Jewels?
Yes.
What the fuck?
I don't know what that
We're
is.
At seven.
I just know that, yeah. I don't know who that is.
We should start a bail. Oh, well. I guess we'll wait and see. I will say this. There seems to be like an unprecedented number of counter programs running counter to
the Puppy Bowl.
There goes that. you guys don't know this. The WWE is doing some counter programming.
Yes. Watch wrestling at halftime?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We got a six-man tag going. Halftime heat is what they're calling.
What's the biggest name in that matchup?
You wouldn't know them. Oh, man. It's not Becky Lynch or Ronda Rousey, I'll say that much. Right. But yeah.
Oh, it's the Divas.
No. God, you are in a different headspace than the rest of us tonight. Good Lord. Watch and find out. I will not be watching that.
You're not going to be watching.
No. I'm gonna watch Parks and Rec Marathon or something. I don't know.
Big O and Dukes.
Or that. Oh, right. Yeah. And our favorite podcast, Big O and Dukes.
They got a halftime show.
They do. They're announcing aspects of the live show going on later this year. So, spoiler alert. I'll watch all of that. I'm going to watch everything but Maroon 5.
Everything but Maroon
5. Just to displease Ice. yeah. So, that's it. We need to get the hell out of here before Ice drops another half a dozen F-bombs.
F-bombs.
So, my bet right here, you're hearing it first. Any songs of theirs about girls?
Every song is going to be about women.
What? That's no bet. That's not a bet.
Songs about Jane.
No bet. No bet.
There's no prop bet.
No bet.
I don't know what the hell he was proposing. I don't know.
Girls Like You is going to be a gimme.
Yeah, probably.
They're just going to do that song on replay.
No,
on loop.
Not.
Where do you fit Sicko Mode in there? I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably somewhere.
I need that. All right. Well, this ended terribly. I hope you're wrong about the entire aspect of every aspect of the Super Bowl halftime show. I hope Jay-Z swings on a goddamn chandelier and knocks them all in their teeth. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, maybe we'll do some fun recap stuff next week about the halftime show, the Super Bowl, and maybe more fire talk. I don't know. Anything's better than Maroon 5. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. We're shifting our schedule a little bit to accommodate some scheduling woes, but
maybe
potentially. But you'll get the same quality content as you can try to get out of this nonsense. So for Jack, for Ice, for Asian John, we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Ciao.